This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham, Scott German. We're going to talk some UVA sports, big UVA sports weekend last weekend. We got another big weekend coming up this weekend. And I think we'll start, actually start with basketball. Scott and I were over in Charlottesville yesterday to see Virginia Monmouth. The Cavs win by 20 points. A little sluggish at the beginning, but Virginia takes an 18-point lead at halftime, cruises in the second half. And Scott, great performance, DeAndre Hunter. I guess you could say another solid defensive effort from this Virginia team. Another day, another guy steps up to lead the team in scoring. Today, the news is this team's a top 25 team for the first time this season. So things are ahead of schedule maybe for this Virginia team as far as what we're seeing out of this, the 4-0 team and good results so far.
For sure. We didn't get to talk after the VCU game, a big win. You were there in a hostile environment, kind of a bandbox arena that the Rams play in, and they went down there and played extremely well. I don't think they played as well defensively as they could. They kind of beat VCU at VCU's game. So, then come back home against a really good Monmouth team that played Seton Hall, another good team, played Seton Hall down to the wire, was within a few points late in that game, lost by 10 ultimately, but a good win for Virginia yesterday. You pointed it out in the press conference with one of your questions. I think it caught Coach Bennett a little off guard in that was it possible that UVA was a little sluggish to get out of the gate Sunday, coming off the heels of that emotional win down in Richmond? Were they a little bit, kind of decharged from that game? And Tony, I think, sums it up. You might be right. We need to look at the film or the tape or whatever they do these days. But I agree with you. They were down 7 points early on in that game and then went into one of their infamous runs or famous runs that they're known for, and that pretty much took care of that game. But I believe you hit the nail on the head. They came out a little sluggish, down 15-8 early, before they really got their win, got their legs under them, and then took care of business like we thought they would.
Yeah, 12:01 mark of that game. One of the Monmouth kids hits a three-pointer from the right corner, 15-8 lead. At that stage, Monmouth is 5 for 9 from the field. Virginia's committed 5 turnovers. Now, significant that number, 5 turnovers. They committed 5 turnovers all game against VCU, the team that plays a full-court trapping defense for 40 minutes. And so Virginia passed that test so well, and then had 5 turnovers in 8 minutes against. Against Monmouth to start the game. And, Tony, to his credit, did not call timeout. I think a lot of coaches, after that three-pointer, you get down 15-8 at home. Whether he wants to admit it in the postgame or not, and he didn't want to yesterday, you could tell. They were sluggish, but, he didn't call timeout. He let them play through it, which I think is important. A lot of coaches would call timeout, and they'd want to talk their team through it. He let them play their way through it, and they did. And DeAndre Hunter was a big part of that. He was 8 of 10 from the field, 23 points, career high, of course, for the young guy, 8 rebounds as well. You wouldn't fault a team for being sluggish either coming out, less than 48 hours after that huge win at VCU. I was at that game, as Scott mentioned, that was a tough environment to play in Richmond. They all wanted Virginia blood to be spilt there on the field, on the court, and Virginia led the whole way. In that game, had a 12-point lead in the first half, 10-point lead in the second half. VCU cut it down a couple different times, but Virginia never really gave that game up. And after that win, yeah, you can be a little emotional about that and come out a little flat, and they did. And then what to the credit of the Virginia team, after coming out flat, they didn't just come back and, a lot of teams would be down 7. They're flat. It's a Sunday. You're getting ready to go to New York for a trip. You come back, you do what you need to do, you win the game. Virginia didn't just come back and win the game. They came back and blew out a good Monmouth team, like you said, Scott. So I was as impressed with that win as I've been in a while, just because of the nature of how tough those 48 hours were. So I think that really stood out for this Virginia team as to how they can respond to adversity.
And, Chris, what we talked about after the game yesterday, with one and another, how the young Cavaliers, the underclassmen, whatever you want to, however you want to label them, first four games of the year, they pretty much established themselves, and the identity of this club is starting to trend that way, their way, because you didn't really hear a lot out of either what they did on the floor or just their court presence out of both Hall and Wilkins yesterday. It's these freshmen, sophomore players that are really stepping up, and that, boy, that just, if you're a Virginia fan, you gotta be pretty pleased with the prospect of having these kids around for the next three or four years.
Yeah, you know, I noted that in the post-game column I did, too. Yeah, because after talking about that on the drive back, you looked at the numbers. Devin Hall had 6 points, only shot the ball three times. Isaiah Wilkins had 5 points, shot the ball twice. And those are the two senior co-captains on this team. And yet you get 23 from DeAndre Hunter. His second time in four games, he's gone for double digits. You had Kyle Guy with 13. Of course, Kyle's going to be the way after 29 at VCU. He's been in double digits all four games. Quick math, his average will be somewhere around 17, 18 points a game through four games. He's really doing, he's really driving the basket well. He's still shooting the threes at a healthy clip, but not shooting as many of them as he did last year. You have Ty Jerome quietly, putting up big numbers at the point. And on defense, this team still defensively, even with what Virginia would consider a subpar performance against VCU, allowing the Rams to score 67 points, VCU came into that game averaging 94 a game. So to score 67 had to feel like, a slog for them that whole day. So Virginia, a young team, picking up this pack line defense and scoring better on offense. When I looked at the KenPom.com numbers after the game yesterday, Scott, we were 35th in the country offensive efficiency-wise out of 351 teams. That means you're in the top 10% of the nation offensively. With this young team against a schedule that's had a couple of interesting games. So this is a team that is, to me, outperforming just because when I looked at the seasons before, the schedule before the season, I had VCU down as a loss. On the road, at a VCU team with a lot of veteran leadership coming back and a team that's going to be in the NCAA tournament itself, I figured, hey, that Virginia team's too young. They're going to lose that game, and they probably are, there's a couple more games coming up that I had down as losses, and they've already surprised me once. They got the win in an impressive fashion. So yeah, through four games, I think you have a lot to feel good about.
And you said something that made me think about how we as Cavalier fans have gotten totally spoiled by Coach Bennett in the ninth. This is his ninth year. It doesn't seem possible, but his tenure at Virginia, how we've gotten so spoiled. When you said we allowed VCU to score 67 points, most teams, that's a Herculean effort if you hold an opponent to 67 points. And we're sitting here talking as though we allowed 100.
Yeah.
And VCU is a team that pushes the ball up and down the floor. You're right, they average 90-some points a game against subpar competition, but still, they're going to score a lot of points in most of their games, and we held them to under 70, and we're sitting here talking like that's a bad defensive effort, which for Virginia standards is actually just that. It's a subpar effort for UVA defensively.
Yeah, I'm sure on the drive back, the bus trip back to Charlottesville from Richmond on Friday, I'm sure there was a little bit of, the players probably talking amongst themselves, coaches talking amongst themselves about how, okay, we got to get better at defense. We gave up 67. That is the mentality, though, in Charlottesville in this day and age. And so this week, Virginia has – it's an interesting schedule. You don't want to overlook the next three games for Virginia, three games basically in 5 days, two of them in New York. Some challenges. Vanderbilt, a team now, Vandy's an SEC team. They're 2-2 early this season, but their KenPom power ranking has them in the top 80. Win or lose that game, you play. That's on Thursday at 4:00. Win or lose that game, there will be a game Friday night that most of us won't see because we'll be watching football. But the Virginia, let's assume a win. You play the winner of Seton Hall against Rhode Island. Seton Hall is in the top 30 of the KenPom.com power rankings, and Rhode Island was somewhere in the 50s. So no layups there. I mean, you got Vandy, Seton Hall, and Rhode Island. You know, Virginia's the top of, you know, the top scale of those four teams. But you got to play some good basketball to win those games. Then you come back, so that's Friday night, either 7:30 or 9:45. Monday night, you got Wisconsin coming to town. A Wisconsin Badgers team in the Big, you know, in the Big Ten that we know very well. That's an important school for the Bennett family. Dick Bennett was a head coach there. Tony was an assistant coach there, and they went to a Final Four together there. And so that's in the ACC Big Ten Challenge Monday night. Next Monday night at 9 o'clock. So yeah, it's a little tough road here. I like this though. Tony's scheduling tough again. And you want to test your team early to get ready for the ACC, and boy, you know, you got VCU last week, you got these three games this week. You can't do much more than that in terms of testing your team.
So talking about the ACC, and you know, I was thinking last night, I was kind of rehashing the game in my mind and thinking about how well Hunter has played, Huff has played well at times. The transfer from Rutgers, Johnson. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's just going to be here 1 year. And I wanted to try to kind of taper that enthusiasm a little bit, thinking, okay, well, you know, Hunter gave Mom the fits yesterday because he presented such a matchup. He's 6'7", he plays like a guard, but can take the ball inside. And I thought, well, you got to be realistic. He gave Monmouth fits, but in the ACC, he's not gonna do that every game. But you know, we talked about this yesterday on the way back from the game. The ACC this year, apparently early on, it's unfolding as a conference of haves and a conference of have-nots, because there's some bad losses dotted around the conference this year. Wake Forest losing to Liberty, they lost yesterday to Houston. Georgia Tech got a couple of bad losses. You know, if the rest of the season, and we know these teams will get better somewhat, but the rest of the season continues to play out like it is, then Hunter's going to give a lot of teams in this conference matchup problems, because there's a lot of these lower echelon, lower level teams in the ACC that are just not playing well right now at all.
Well, and we talked about this during the game yesterday, and I thought it was worth mentioning. You know, last year's team, there were a lot of the same guys around, but, you know, really everybody seemed to look to London Perentis to initiate the offense. If you know, when the going got tough, hey, London, go do something. That seemed to be the way things were. You know, guy, a talented offensive player, but young and maybe not as confident as he needed to be. And you know, so last year when things got tough, you know, we looked to London Perentis, and what that meant was opponents on defense said, hey, if we could stop Perentis, then we stop Virginia. And that happened a lot down the stretch. You know, there was no inside game, and if you kept London in check, Virginia was going to be kept in check. And you saw that especially, you know, most pronounced in the Florida loss in the NCAA tournament, with the only 39 points in that game. Perentis was cold, and the rest of the team was cold. This year's team, though, you look at it already. Hunter's had two double-digit games already this season, including 23 yesterday. You've got four double-digit games out of Guy. You've got Jerome scoring double digits, I think, three times this year out of four games. You know, you've had Hall. Yesterday was quiet, but he's had 19 in a game this year. You know, Wilkins has had double digits in a game this year. Huff has had 16 in a game this year. You've got six or seven guys, any of whom can step up and be sort of the guy, whether for a whole game or for a stretch of a game. And last year, again, you really only had, okay, Perentis and maybe Guy, and at times Mariel Shayok. But, you know, you had maybe three guys, and not even consistently three guys. This year, you've got six or seven guys who you can say, hey, Hunter's a matchup problem. I mean, here's what I like about Hunter. 6'7", he's got a high release point. He can catch the ball in the lane and shoot that quick turnaround. He can post guys up. He can shoot threes. He can dribble and get to the basket, get to the foul line. Same guy at 6'2", You know, he's a dead-eye three-point shooter. He's now getting in the lane and scoring. He had 6 points in the first half yesterday, all on driving layups to the basket. You've got Jerome, who can hit threes and get to the basket. You've got Huff, who can score from the paint. He's got a great turnaround jump shot, good hook shot, three-point shooter, can dribble the ball and get to the basket. You know, you start going down the line there, and we're talking about a Virginia team that large, you know, even when Malcolm Brogdon and Justin Anderson were part of this team, two guys who are now in the NBA, Joe Harris part of this team, you know, was offensively challenged at times. I think this year's group, and as you said, Scott, they're going to be around for a while. And I haven't even talked about Nader Johnson. He's only here for this year, but he broke the press against VCU by himself several times on Friday. You're talking about a team that has so much offensive versatility, and those aren't words you put together talking about a Tony Bennett team. Even the successful ones the last few years, this team has an interesting offensive versatility that I think will make them really tough by the time ACC play starts.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, we yesterday we remarked about Guy's points. He had four layups yesterday that were – the word layup was not really – descriptive enough. I mean, four contested layups that last year, that would have not been in his game. That would have not been in his repertoire because he just didn't have the body strength. But he took it inside and really made some nice, I call them power moves to the basket. That you know, so we've got a 2.0 Kyle Guy. We've got a point guard that really now knows his position. He's not asked to score, but can score if needed. Overall, not taking anything away from London. He was a tremendous player. Will probably someday have his number retired or his jersey retired or something of that effect. But this year's team is just so much more dimensional, and that's what you need. Because those guys aren't going to always have great nights. When you play in great competition like you face in ACC every night, players are shut down. But when you've got three, four, five options to count on to score, it just really makes you a difficult team to defend against. And that's the way it's played out so far.
So that's UVA basketball. Of course, we won't get to go to New York. I was planning to go to New York this week, but the football team's keeping me here. You know, wanting to keep up with this football game this week's keeping me here. We will, of course, we'll live blog during Thursday's game. That's Thanksgiving Day at 4:00. This is the tip, and that game's on TV. Go to AugustaFreePress.com. I'll have the channel and how you can find the game, that kind of thing. But you know, something good to watch on Thanksgiving Day is be better. I think the Redskins game is the one opposing you there, and you certainly don't want to waste your time watching the Redskins play. So you'll want to see the Virginia Vanderbilt game, 4:00 tip from New York, and then Friday night. You know, it's going to be hard because Scott, I was thinking about this. I can't think of the last time I did not watch a Virginia basketball game either. We see a lot of games in person. Every time we don't see a game in person, I'm watching it on TV. It has been a long time since I've not watched a Virginia basketball game. But Virginia football, Friday night, 8:00, they're going to get our attention, Virginia Tech in town. We'll do a more detailed podcast probably tomorrow, I guess, with the Thanksgiving week throwing things off a bit. But Friday night, 8:00, Virginia Tech in town. And let's just, you know, get some initial thoughts out of the way. Virginia Tech, a 7-point favorite in Charlottesville going into this one. But this feels like a game that Virginia might have a good shot at. Scott, your thoughts going into Friday night?
If the same Virginia team, if the Virginia team that comes out and plays with the same intensity and the same motivation, whatever adjective you want to use, that played Saturday against Miami, then they'll not only win that game, they'll win that game rather comfortably. But that's the $2 million question: is which Virginia team is going to come out there and show up Saturday? We would hope, and we would think that it would be the Virginia team that really came out and just played their hearts out and played tremendous football with Miami for 45 of the 60 minutes before exhaustion just set in and depth took over. But if they play that way, then Virginia's certainly got a chance to beat Tech and end this streak. But we've seen Dr. Jekyll Hyde type performances from Virginia this year. So the offensive line does their job, keeps Vinker safe back there, keeps him from having to step out and scramble, get happy feet, so to speak. Then I look for Virginia tonight to end this streak Friday night in Charlottesville.
You know, a key is going to be one thing Virginia didn't do well on Saturday as Binkert was throwing. You know, he was having a career game, even with the pick six, you can call it a career game. The four touchdown passes at one point, he was 17 for 18. And we're not talking like little dinks and dunks. We're talking some money balls. I mean, some long passes that he had to have touch on. Some passes threading between defenders that he had beautiful zip on. He was having a hellacious game. And then in the fourth quarter, you're the one who pointed out, Scott, that it was really the offensive line sort of breaking down that caused the issues in the fourth quarter, and that's why the team stagnated and didn't score in the fourth quarter. But I think also part of that was, you know, when you're pass blocking as much as Virginia was on Saturday, you know, pass blocking is, you know, you're stepping back, and you're, you know, the defensive line and the front seven, They're trying to impose their will on you, so they're pushing you. When you're running, you know, the ball, you know, you're imposing your will on them. You know, you're blocking forward, you're going downhill, and again, Virginia didn't run the ball well against Miami. In fact, the two leading rushers for Virginia were wide receivers. Zacchaeus and Joe Reed were the two leading rushers in the game, only with around 28, 29 yards of rushing. Jordan Ellis had 11 carries for 24 yards. If Virginia can get a running game going against Virginia Tech, and Binkert can still be as accurate as he was, and the play calling, the pass game calling by Robert Anae was right on target. Just not the Cavs weren't able to get enough running game going. But if they can get a running game going, I think that can put the Hokies on their heels a bit. And that's going to be important. And I'll say this, if we don't get a running game going, you know, even if we have a lead, you know, I think the lack of depth on offensive line can be an issue. So that's going to be the key of the game. I think defensively, Virginia matches up well with Virginia Tech. Offensively, the Tech offense has been a little stagnant itself the last few weeks. Josh Jackson has been a sort of average quarterback for the last 3 or 4 weeks. So I think Virginia defensively matches up well. The question will be, can Virginia get a running game going, keep the pressure off of Binkert, and keep him from making that one mistake? And unfortunately, as good as he can be, he can make one critical mistake like he did against Miami. That pick six really turned that game around. If Virginia can get a running game going, I think we can get this win that we've been waiting for forever.
And Tech thrives on the turnover. Yeah. Defensively, Foster always comes up with a big play, being the ball special teams type situation, but Tech knows that, and they know that if they flush him out of the pocket, he's an entirely different, much, much, much less effective quarterback. So I'm not a defensive coordinator, I'm not a defensive coach, I'm not all that intelligent about football, but I guarantee you that's got to be Tech's priority in practicing this week in the game plan. Is to get Binkert out there outside the pocket, and get him out there in the flank, so to speak. Because when that happens, generally bad things happen to Virginia's offense.
Well, one thing we know, if you've watched Virginia Tech football over the years, one thing that's not changed, even with the head coaching change, when Justin Fuente came in, Bud Foster, of course, is still the coordinator there. And Bud Foster, he doesn't disguise what he wants to do. There's no nuance to what Bud Foster does. He's going to stack the box, and that's going to make it hard for Virginia to run. But he's going to stack the box with as many guys as he can. He's going to put his two cornerbacks on an island. You know, his safeties, because Virginia will run a lot of 3 and 4 receiver sets. So, you know, he'll put those secondary guys on an island. There'll be a lot of man coverage. There'll be a lot of what they call cover zero, and maybe some cover one with just one safety back. But not a lot of cover one. It'll be mostly the zero look, where you got man on man, and they're going to dare you to block. I mean, if they've got four guys back in man on man coverage against four receivers, they're going to basically say, we're sending seven. you figure out how to block them. And that's going to be a key there too. But if Virginia can take advantage of that, you know, there's ways to run through those holes. If you spread the field wide enough with three and four receiver sets, you can maybe spread their defensive alignment out a little bit, get some running lanes. You can actually get some big yards if you get through that first line. You can make them pay a little bit for it too. Maybe make them a little less aggressive on those passing situations. But we know what Bud Foster does. He's not going to sit back in zone. He's not going to drop eight guys back in coverage. That's just not what he does. And so he sets that tone, and what we have to do is respond. We're all familiar with it. Wanted to bring up one other thing up, Scott. The news today. There had been talk over the weekend. Of course, Oregon State has its head coaching job open. Bronco Mendenhall is an alum of Oregon State. We knew about his BYU ties, but he actually played football at Oregon State. And he was asked two questions today at his press conference about it. He quickly denied any interest in the job, and then more forcefully said, you know what, that job was open 3 years ago. I was a finalist for it. I was on the short list of candidates. Not interested. Don't want the job. I'm happy in Virginia. To me, that answers the question. But at least for Virginia fans, hey, 2 years into it, somebody else wants our coach. That's got to be a good sign.
Well, yes, absolutely, it's a good sign. Most insiders, if you will, they know that what he was up against. We probably knew what he was up against more than he knew what he was up against when he came here, because we watched him play. And he inherited a mess, and he's done a remarkable job in 2 years. I know the one loss record maybe not quite where people would want it to be, but realistic fans know that what he inherited and how long it takes to build a program back. And yeah, he is going to be in demand, but I really believe that he is a man that has got a lot of conviction. He came here to get a job, to do a job. He likes it here. His family likes it here, from all indications of what I've read about their family life. He just is not going to be swayed by the lure, maybe more money. I don't think that's what motivates him. And I wouldn't worry at this point. Maybe 3 years from now, maybe something will come up that he might be interested in. But right now, I think he's committed to building this program to where he wants it to be built. And I don't think there's any chance at all we're going to lose him.
So that's the news today. Mendenhall, of course, reaffirming commitment to Virginia. Not that anybody was even questioning that, but there were rumors that popped up this weekend, again, about Oregon State possibly being interested in Mendenhall. And so, distraction on rivalry week, what it is, you know, that's what it is. So Scott and I will talk more in depth about this game later this week. I've got to still do my game preview, where I try to analyze the stats and the X's and O's and give you sort of the game plan. What I try to do is give you the game plan, the blueprint for how Virginia can win the game. And we'll see. But of course, we'll be in Scott Stadium Friday night, 8 o'clock. We'll be cold, but we'll be, we're watching Virginia and Virginia Tech in person, so we'll also be pretty happy about that. We live blogging, tweeting, etc. And maybe around 11:30. I'm still looking forward to this day. One day it will happen, maybe before social media goes away. I'm looking forward to that first tweet where a person from University of Virginia says, hey, we just beat Virginia Tech in football. Maybe it comes around 11:30 Friday night. Who knows? I'm looking forward to that day, though. So Scott and I will be doing that. And, of course, again, we'll be talking some basketball. A lot going on the next few days in UVA athletics, and we're glad to bring it to you. Want to sign off for the day? I am Chris Graham for Scott German. Have a great day, everybody.